Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight on Ready to Unload with Cal and Stamps, episode 10, Shaving Bad. Yeah, French Gate, third company, welcome to Ready to Load with Cal and Stampede. I am one of your hosts, Steve Stampietro, otherwise known as Stampede. Let me bring in my partner. My partner in crime, my partner in grime, my partner in time, Brian Calneva, Caliente, Calpino. Brian Calvi, how are you, Brian?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Calpino. It feels like weeks since I've done the show, Cal.
It has been weeks. What did you just blow into town?
Like tornado humor. I was just, yeah. That's fantastic. Well done.
Too soon? Too soon?
And let's also welcome in the third wheel, but never the obtrusive third wheel, Dr. E-Ray Stat. Dr. E-Ray, welcome to episode 4 of WBT.
Wow.
Ready to Unload with Cal and Stampede. Hi, Evan.
Boy, am I glad you're here. I could just relax and sit back tonight.
You can have a nice, enjoyable show. We have got a ton to get to. We will be talking to Dr. E-Ray down the line, of course. We are taking your calls at 424-220-1817, the number to call, Ready to Unload with Cal and Stampede, episode 4. Cal, since it's been 8 weeks since I've done a show, how does this work again? What do we do?
I'm not sure. Dr. E-Ray sent us a list of things that we're supposed to talk about.
Right.
So I think we just go down the list and we talk about them, and then we talk about them for too long, and then he tells us to move on.
Right. Right. Right.
Something like that. But before we get into that,
yes.
I think we need an update, because when we last spoke on Thursday night, you were remote from your neighborhood after New York experienced a rare tornado. And how is everything with you, Steve? Is everything okay?
Everything's good, Cal. When I tell you, seriously, the damage on my street here in Bayside in Queens, New York, was huge. I mean, it was crazy. There's a 40-foot tree down in my driveway, and it took us a couple of days to get power back and whatnot. But we're back online. Bayside as a community has rallied.
Good.
Yeah, no, we're feeling strong about ourselves, and we have really put it together, and just thankful that my car and my house were intact.
Yeah, the other people weren't so lucky in your neighborhood, huh?
No, not even on my street, Cal, like 4 cars crushed, so...
Yeah, we saw the pictures, it's unbelievable.
That's right, I sent out the photos, and it was pretty wacky. I mean, there's not supposed to be tornadoes in Queens, New York.
No?
I want to talk to somebody about that. Preferably meteorological. That's not an easy word to say. I sound like I'm drunk when I'm saying that.
Yeah, you have to swear that.
Meteorological! So, Cal, let's just get right into it, pal, because, you know, we were all set to do the opening unload, the big unload, on the New York Yankees in their big night last night at the stadium. Can we start calling it the stadium, like the state?
I think so. I think it's acceptable. That's the stadium. No other stadium. Every other stadium has a corporate name. That's the only one that doesn't.
That's correct. The Yankee Stadium. The Perfect. Stadium. Last night, it was a big night. Of course, they honored George Steinbrenner with a monument out in Monument Valley. So we were going to talk about that, Cal. And then, boy, the Jets just don't let us rest. They just do not give us a rest.
Well, we woke up this morning to some troubling news with one of their own.
Yes. Why don't you tell the folks out there? I'm sure they've heard about it today, but tell the folks, the good folks here at RTU, the RTUers out there, what our good friend Braylon Edwards decided to do.
Braylon Edwards. Braylon, the strong character guy that is Braylon Edwards, was pulled over this morning at around, correct me, 5:15 this morning. Is that right?
Yes. 5:15-ish.
5:15 this morning, because the story broke around a quarter after 8:15, so it was only 3 hours prior. He had been out last night at Jericho Cotchery, had a big event for his foundation, and most of the team was out at this event, and I guess they partied a little bit farther into the night/morning than you would like, and he was pulled over this morning in his SUV. The cop pulled him over because his windows were overly tinted.
Sure.
So that's why he was pulled over.
I have this problem all the time myself.
Yeah, I know. You got to... keep them rolled down, Steve.
My Honda Element is banging, Cal.
Cops trailing you all over Bayside.
Oh yeah.
But so the cops pull him over and they smell some alcohol on his breath. Ask him to take a breathalyzer. And unconfirmed report is that he said, "Well, why don't I just call a cab and take the cab home at this point?"
Right.
Cops said, "No, I think we're going to need you to blow into this tube." And 0.16 blood alcohol limit later, Braylon Edwards is arrested in Manhattan.
That is twice the legal limit, folks, in case you're wondering at home. So those are the numbers on Braylon Edwards for the DUI arrest. Twice the legal limit. Now, Cal, a couple things right off the bat. And we're also going to talk about Brandon Jacobs in this mix. We're going to throw the Giants running back Brandon Jacobs into this, the men behaving badly here in New York football. Brandon Jacobs throws his helmet when he gets taken out of the game the other night in Indianapolis. He tries to throw it into the bench, and I hate when this happens, Cal. It's happened to me so often.
Right.
My hand gets caught in the face mask, and it goes flying into the stands.
It goes like 30 feet up in the air.
Right. I hate when that happens. It's a common problem. You see it a lot. It's a lot of times when a professional athlete goes to throw a helmet or something.
Right.
They can't control it, and it goes into the stands.
Right. It goes in the exact opposite direction of where they intended it to go.
That's correct.
Here.
And Jacobs does that after the game, curses at reporters, then apologizes. There's a rumor that he's asked for a trade. So really, two New York athletes for the football Giants and the New York Jets covering themselves in glory. And let's just start with Braylon Edwards, Cal, because I have a couple questions for you. Okay, my first question is, okay, so we see this happens. Braylon Edwards came here with a reputation. He had the incident last year in Cleveland before the Jets traded for him. You knew he was sort of not exactly a character guy. The Jets have brought in Santonio Holmes. The Jets have brought in Antonio Cromartie. We've made a lot on this program and about the Jets bringing in questionable character guys.
Right.
So my first question is, was this a matter of time before it bit them in the you-know-what?
Well, I don't think you ever expect a guy to be arrested for DWI, but it was definitely a matter of time before something reared its head with this guy. I mean, he's always had a lot of problems, you know, just kind of staying out of trouble.
Yeah.
He almost missed a playoff game last year because he was in court.
Right.
For what happened last year in Cleveland. So, you know, you can't be surprised that something happened. It's sad that it did happen. It's even more sad that it comes on the heels of really a fantastic performance by not only him, but the whole team on Sunday against the Patriots. But I'm unfortunately, I'm not that surprised.
Well, and that's the seemingly the reaction from his teammates, which is never a good thing. So
right.
you saw tweets today from Rich Cimini of ESPN New York and stuff saying essentially that the team is disappointed, but they're not surprised. Well, you know what, Cal? They should be surprised. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous. How are professional athletes, and you know where I'm going with this, Cal.
Go ahead.
How does a professional athlete still get a DUI?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about, right? You know the program I'm talking about?
The program that is funded by Woody Johnson.
Correct. The Protect, right? What is it? The Protect the...
The Player Protect Program, I believe?
Player Protect Program. Now, for those of you out there who don't know what the Player Protect Program is, it basically is a special hotline number, okay, that any professional athlete can call and get a SUV, like, tripped-out limousine SUV chauffeur at any time, no questions asked, so they don't drive drunk.
Yeah, we're not talking about, like, a livery cab. And
no,
like,
we're
you know,
talking about
an 86 Oldsmobile. This is nice.
Exactly. It's not like a, you know, a Lincoln Town Car. We're talking about tripped out SUV limos. Okay, that the player can call at any time. No questions asked. They will pick you up wherever you are, take you wherever you want. And Cal, the best part is it's paid for.
It's paid for. Yeah.
Paid for by the team. So Braylon Edwards making $6.1 million this year does not have to, you know, shell out for a cab.
Right.
How is it? How dumb can you be? How selfish and stupid are these guys? I've had it. You have your best game, and you were a good citizen for almost 8 minutes. Thanks.
Right.
Those 2 days, and he got a taunting penalty on the only touchdown he scored.
Right. He got a taunting penalty. He almost got another one on the two-point conversion.
I know.
You know, I mean, like, you'd think that maybe you'd learn your lesson after within the same game. It wasn't
exactly.
Even, you know, it wasn't even an hour later in actual time, and he's doing the same thing.
In real time, right.
In real time, and then did you see Rex Ryan was about to give him the game ball the other day, and he says, I can't do it because what you did was selfish.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, and I totally agree, and he followed up a selfish act on the field with a selfish act off of it, and God forbid somebody had been hurt or killed or whatever. Now, and thank God nobody was. You know, thank goodness that he didn't hurt anybody, including himself.
Well, now, Steve, let me ask you a question, because there were a couple of players that were in the car with him. That it's come out throughout the day, some names of the players that were with him.
Right.
DeBrickashaw Ferguson was one of them. Vernon Golston was another. There were four other people unnamed. I don't know if they were players that were in. So now you're looking at seven people.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Seven people in this car. And of the seven of them, not one of them, one of the other six, had the presence of mind to tell Braylon Edwards, maybe this is not such a good idea. It's 5:15. You've been drinking for 8 hours. Maybe you shouldn't get behind the wheel. I mean, how much responsibility do they bear in this?
Yeah, I know. They do to an extent, sure. Absolutely. I mean, where are your buddies? They're your teammates.
Right.
Where are your buddies looking out for you, you know? Golston and DeBrick. Where are your buddies? Like, hey, this is, like, bad idea genes. This is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Let's not do it. But, you know, these guys never learn. They never learn.
No, and unfortunately, you're seeing more and more of it. It's not just Braylon Edwards. It's throughout the league, throughout sports in general, you know?
Yeah.
I you know, just to get on my soapbox for 2 seconds, you have
careful, young
millionaire players.
Be careful climbing up.
With people that don't say no to them, looking out for their best interests, and it's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. Off soapbox.
And scene. Cal, though, I'm going to make like a little jump here real quick. What you're talking about, and you see them make – you see these professional athletes make bad decisions in varying degrees, okay? So Braylon Edwards makes an awful decision, and for the reasons you're saying, nobody ever says no to them,
no.
Okay? And Braylon Edwards makes this decision to get behind the wheel when he's twice the legal limit for, you know, and is arrested for a DUI. terrible decision. But you go to a guy like, and I'm just going to bring this up real quick, like LeBron with the decision. You know what I mean? LeBron with the decision. Like, was that a good idea? No, it was a terrible idea, but nobody knows how to say no to him.
No, I mean, how many? He's got to have at least 30 people in his inner circle.
Right.
Right.
And I'm not, I don't want to compare LeBron making a terrible decision to go on national television and say he's taking his talents to South Beach.
Yeah.
And you know, what is really a terrible, terrible mistake in judgment for Braylon Edwards in driving drunk. I'm not comparing the severity at all. You know, I'm just saying it's symptomatic of these professional athletes who are never told no.
Right. Now, Steve, the latest on this story, I don't know if you saw, is that the Braylon Edwards is going to suit up on Sunday night for the game.
I did not see this. All right.
Yeah. Courtesy of Dr. E-Ray.
My next question, Cal. My next question is, do you suspend him for a game if you're the Jets?
Well, here's where we're at right now. Braylon Edwards will dress when the New York Jets play at Miami Sunday night, but he will not start after being charged with driving while intoxicated on Tuesday. So he's going to suit up, but he's not going to start.
Ooh.
So now where do we go?
Oh, they're really teaching him a lesson.
Okay, it goes on. And again, Dr. E-Ray giving us the exact quote. In light of the fact,
does the right thing, Dr. E-Ray. Go ahead.
He bails us out all the time. In light of the facts, as we have them, Rex Ryan, Woody Johnson, and I, Mike Tannenbaum, have decided he will not start. Mike Tannenbaum said he will dress. He will play at some point. When, we don't know. This is an area we pour a lot of organizational resources into, and we're very disappointed in what happened.
That's a bad analogy, first of all. Bad use of the word pour. It's an area we pour a lot of organizational resources into. You know, you shouldn't have anything liquid associated with your statement.
There might not have been an editor at this time of night.
Yeah. No.
So, all right, so let's
They're using the Mets PR people, apparently.
Right, they used that money to bail him out of jail today. Right. No, this is what we got to talk about, because there's a lot of debate. What's the right thing to do? Should they suspend him? Should the league suspend him? All that. But what the Jets apparently have decided to do, the punishment in this case is that he will not start the game on Sunday night, but he will play. And they've actually come out and said he will play at some point.
Right.
Do you think that that's a severe enough punishment for what happened today?
No, absolutely not. I think, and I say this as a Jet fan who desperately wants to beat Miami on Sunday night, he should be suspended. Because in one game, just as the team, say we're not going to take this anymore. Okay? Suspended for one game. Cal, look at it this way. Look at what's gone on with this team. It's like every week. You know, every week there's Hard Knocks. There's the cursing incident. There's Revis holding out. There's, you know, Revis's agents calling Woody Johnson a liar. There's then, of course, last week there's the Inez Sayings controversy with them, you know, doing all this stuff in the locker room. I mean, what's it going to be next week?
Well, apparently the message, in my opinion, that they're sending is that it's okay. Whatever you do, that's all right, because the goal is to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I disagree with it. I think it's terrible.
I disagree too. And let me ask you another question, Steve. If Santonio Holmes was activated, if he was playing right now, and or this was later in the season and the Jets were like 7-1 and had a two-game lead in the division, do you think the punishment would have been different?
I think he's absolutely suspended for a game.
Then that's a problem.
I think if Santonio Holmes is active right now,
he's suspended.
He's absolutely suspended for a game.
That's a problem.
And you know what I'm surprised, Cal? And I saw this a lot on, you know, thegangrene.com and stuff like that today. And we're going to take your calls on this. And of course, we're going to get to Brandon Jacobs, the other troublemaker in New York, in just a second. And the number to call, 424-220-1817. But, Cal, you know what I saw a ton today is, why not lie and say we're still investigating the matter, have him play in Miami, and then suspend him for the Buffalo game.
I think that actually would have been worse.
Right, you know what? I'm surprised they didn't do that. It's so obvious. If they were playing Buffalo this week, he'd be suspended, Cal.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
he'd be suspended right now.
So now what you've done, Jets, good job, Jets. You are on national TV Sunday night, and what you've done is you've invited the national broadcast crew to weigh in on this and just basically rip you to shreds on Monday on Sunday night.
Yep. You know what? I'm going to borrow a little something from Samini here that he wrote today, but it's kind of right. You know, what are they going to do next? Are they going to put a horse in Roger Goodell's office? You know, I mean, are they going to make a huge parade float and ruin the homecoming parade? I mean, it's Animal House. Absolutely, yeah. Animal House there. And it's like Super Bowl or bust, doesn't make a difference. We'll do anything we need to do to win. And you know what? I'm sorry. He should be suspended for a week.
I agree.
Send a message. How about when, you know, Sean Ellis got picked up for the marijuana possession, you know, and Captain Toke over there. And they suspended him for a week. Did they not?
Well, they weren't trying to win a Super Bowl back then.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
The game has changed a little bit.
You just got all, like, Stewie on me. Right. Oh, yeah. Not trying to win a Super Bowl. Now, the Giants should not get off scot-free either. You want to take a call about this, Cal?
Yeah, we got a caller on the line that wants to talk about this.
Let's take a call on this. I think it's Rick calling from PA. Rick, how are you? Welcome to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Pete. What's going on, bud?
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you, Rick? What's the word, man?
Although the driving drunk incident, I must say, I still am very happy with the performance this past Sunday.
Yeah, you have to be, of course.
You know, it's a shame that we're talking about this, but I did want to bring up a point. You guys were talking about suspending Braylon Edwards for next week. And I'm going to read this from ESPN.com about 9 o'clock. They wrote that the Jets had few options in terms of discipline due to the rules of the collective bargaining agreement. Any punishment they would dole out now, other than what the NFL eventually decides, would violate the CBA. That means the Jets could not deactivate him or keep him active and not play him without risking a violation.
Really? So that's interesting, Rick. Did they mention anything in there about Santonio Holmes a couple years or last year with the Steelers? Because I thought the Steelers were able to suspend him for a game internally. So I'm wondering.
Now they go on. Now they talk about Dante Stallworth, but they do not mention Holmes.
Yeah, because I thought that and that's awesome information, Rick. And I was kind of taking, and I think Brian and I both were, kind of taking this stance about, and not that we talked about it beforehand. I think we just feel the same way. But I was taking that stance, Rick, because I had read that, you know, it would be similar to what Santonio Holmes was suspended for a game for violating the substance abuse policy, even though he was a first-time offender, so that he did not face a suspension from the league. The team suspended him for a week. I thought they could do that, so maybe they can't.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know that much about it.
Right.
But as I was reading this article, it looks like the Jets could do it. It's just they would be a risk, you know, that the players' union would be up in arms about it.
Right,
But now, they could obviously do it.
And I think I think the issue is that the NFL can't suspend him because he's not part of the substance abuse program, and this would be his first offense. Is that right?
Well, that's what Chris Mortensen reported. However, it's now saying that they corrected Mortensen. They say if Edwards is convicted or pleads no contest, he likely will be subject to the league's personal conduct policy and face possible suspension.
Okay.
The source clarified to Chris Mortensen. So Mortensen was basically saying it falls under the substance abuse, not personal conduct, so he won't be suspended. They're now contradicting him, saying, no, if he pleads no contest, he will face, essentially, he'll face suspension.
Yeah, he'd have to, because that would be his second strike for the personal conduct,
right.
Because the altercation he got at with LeBron's boys out in Cleveland last year was his first strike personal conduct-wise, so... Either way, if you're Rick, let me ask you, if you're the Jets, okay, and there aren't the ramifications with the players' union, and they're not going to suspend him, the league is not, because it's a personal or it's a substance abuse violation, his first. If you're the Jets and you have things in your hands, what do?
I suspend them.
You do, right? You suspend them for a game, right?
At minimum.
Right. I feel like the inmates are running the asylum here, Rick. I really do.
I mean, the boss sets up, you know, this policy that clearly is out there to protect, you know, the citizens from drunk driving and yourself from drunk driving, and, you know, you blatantly disregard it. I mean, you absolutely at least one game, if not two, definitely to send a message throughout the team.
Yeah, Rick. No, thanks. And again, thanks for the call, Rick, and thank you for providing us with that information, because we kind of, Steve and I just kind of came on and went on our soapbox and talked about what the Jets definitely needed to do. Sounds like you've provided us with some information that their hands are a little bit tied in the situation.
A little bit. But on a good note, how good did LDT look?
He did look. LDT looked awfully good, Rick. He looked awfully good. He looked like he had found the fountain of middle age or something. Because he at least football middle age. Because, no, I mean, he really had a quickness to him. Now, Rick, while you're talking, what did you think of Mr. Sanchez's performance? Because you've been a little critical.
Yeah, no, I've been very critical. I will admit, I've been very critical. I was critical of Schottenheimer, too. I think he was way too conservative in that first game. And Sanchez looked very, very nervous. I mean, he looked better. There's no doubt he looked better, obviously. I mean, you know, I'm not going to anoint him to be, you know, one of the Manning brothers yet, but he looked better. You know, I mean, so we'll see. You know, the jury's still out, I think, on Sanchez. I mean, I'm not convinced just after one game. I mean, it was a good game, good performance, good play calling. You know, there's, what, how many more games this season that we'll see how he does.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it was a symptom of the offensive coordinator finally trusting the quarterback. You know,
I mean, I do too.
You got to trust the kid. I walked out of the first game saying you got to trust the kid. And if you're gonna, you know, have aspirations to get anywhere, you're gonna have to trust the kid.
One of the analysts on ESPN, I think it was Dilfer, brought up the stat that I think first and second down they only let him throw single digit number of times against Baltimore,
yep.
And it was like 22 times this game. So
yeah.
That definitely doesn't put him in third and long every time after two runs, you know?
Yep. No, it's going to be interesting to see, too, if the leash is, if they Pearl Jam style drop the leash again this coming week against Miami, Rick. But
right.
we'll go ahead.
Revis is out, so I doubt he's going to play. So it will be interesting with Jenkins and Revis out how good Rex really can scheme that defense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, of course, the Jets will be down to, you know, essentially three receivers with one guy who will play at some point.
Right, and one of those is Clowney, who was cut already once.
Exactly. All right, Rick, we'll talk to you next week, pal. Good stuff.
Hey, if I can leave you guys with one thing, I wouldn't mind hanging up and listening to your opinion, since I am down here in friggin' sunny Pennsylvania, where it's always sunny in Philadelphia.
That's right.
What do you think about the Kevin Kolb, Michael Vick situation? I'll leave you with that. I'd be interested in both your opinions on who should be starting for the Eagles next week. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Rick.
Later.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, so Rick checking in from PA with some great information. And we'll get to Kevin Kolb and Michael Vick a little later on in the show. We actually have that scheduled, Cal. We have that scheduled to go.
We do, of course we do.
Because Michael Vick, speaking of personal conduct policies, as we were, or the Michael Vick rule, as it's now, it should be called. But just real quick on the Jets, let's wrap up the Jets, Cal, and then get to the Giants. You know, it was a great performance by Sanchez. Three touchdowns, his best, you know, career performance. You were at the game. I was at the game. I felt a much better feel, in the stadium on Sunday as opposed to the Monday night opener. I think the Monday night opener, the crowd was tentative. The team was tentative. They didn't know what to expect. And I felt like Sunday the crowd was into it. Now, the place still has no character, and it took me 45 minutes to park.
Yeah.
With a parking pass.
Me too.
Right. But the crowd really seemed to finally get into it. So I thought the crowd did a good job, especially in the second half. But this is all Sanchez and Schottenheimer, Cal.
Yeah, I think so. And just going back to the crowd did not get into it in the first quarter when the Jets ran three plays.
Well, it was tough to.
It was a little disconcerting. But you're right. They did in the second half. The Jets went into the locker room. I think it was huge that they got those 3 points before the half.
Yes.
You know, I said to my buddy that I was with, I said, you know what? If you try to score points here, it's going to be a mistake. And I was wrong because they scored the points. They got on the board. They cut the lead to 4. They went into the locker room, and they made the necessary adjustments to come out in the second half.
Right. No, I totally agree. Those are – Sanchez called them hidden points. You know, I at that point said they have to put points on the board after Revis gets torched, grabs his hamstring, does not return to the game. Moss makes a silly, silly, silly catch.
I guess Revis wasn't faking it then last week.
No.
He really did have an injured hamstring.
Yeah, I guess he did have an injured hamstring. Otherwise, this is some ruse they're putting on.
Well, my bad then.
It's some facade that they're putting out there. But the Jets do get a huge win against the Patriots. And I think the Patriots were a little shocked. You know what killed me, Cal? It was very interesting. When have you ever seen Bill Belichick not use his timeouts at the end of the game? Down 14 points with like 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
And he stopped using his timeouts.
I essentially gave up.
After they converted that fourth in like an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Where LDT sort of launched himself over the line, looking very spry.
I believe he has Joe McKnight's legs.
That's right.
I don't know what Joe McKnight is, but I think Tomlinson has his legs.
Now, Joe McKnight might be on the back of a milk container at this point because he's been active or he's not been active?
I don't think he's been active.
Yeah, Dr. E-Ray can check. Dr. E-Ray, quick. Wow. Big guy, on the ball today. Stat, I needed that, and I got it stat.
Another thing about the Patriots, Steve, real quick, is the amount of stupid penalties that they took.
Yeah.
Certainly not a Belichick team. They don't usually do that.
No, very uncharacteristic. And it was a very good win for the Jets. It was a win that they absolutely needed. Now they go to face Miami, down to Florida on Sunday night, 2-0 Dolphins. Their defense has been fantastic, the Dolphins. They just laid the wood to Brett Favre and beat up on the Vikings in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So this is the first road game for the Jets, and you know, obviously, Cal, you know, the key, as we said, Schottenheimer's got to trust his quarterback, and we'll see what Antonio Cromartie does.
And the thing, Miami play in their home opener, so they're going to be all jazzed down there in South Beach.
Yeah.
One of the things I took out of watching Miami, just seeing the highlights on Sunday, was they were able to keep Adrian Peterson in check. You know, they were able to stop the run. They stopped Peterson on a goal line stand in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
That would have won the game for Minnesota. Now you have a situation where the Jets are going to be down receivers. They might not have the options to throw. They might have to run the ball. They're going to have to watch out because that Miami run defense has been real good.
Yep, no, they are definitely going to have to throw the ball again, I think. And again, it's Schottenheimer getting creative with the play calling. And making sure he trusts his quarterback. 424-220-1817, the number to call. Let's get back to the Giants real quick, the football Giants. And, Cal, we were talking about Brandon Jacobs earlier, and we were talking about a helmet throwing and the trade asking and the whole thing.
Right.
All right. And the Giants get destroyed on Sunday Night Football after a really good opening week win at home, feel good, beat Carolina, sort of avenge the whipping that they took last year to close the Meadowlands or close Giants Stadium. And so you felt good about the Giants. You know, I had my Giant fan friends texting me, the bright sunny day,
right,
making fun of the Jets. Everything was going well for them. And then the Jets on Sunday beat the Patriots, and the Giants get destroyed on Sunday Night Football. And here's what I took out of this. If I was the Giants,
yes,
I would deactivate Brandon Jacobs for this coming week. I would. I would.
Why? He didn't get arrested. All he did was throw his helmet into the stands.
I don't care. This is ridiculous. What is going on with the Giants, Cal? This is and did you see what Antron Roll said?
I did. Why don't you tell everybody? Because you sent that to us late this afternoon.
Right. Antro Roll essentially just came out and said, this is unacceptable.
Uh-huh.
There is no leadership on this team. Things are too rigid.
Right.
He talked about being at the game too early.
Uh-huh.
Like, they had to be at the game 3.5 hours before the game.
And this is Antrell Roll. This is Antrell Roll in his second game in the organization.
Right. He's been here for 12 minutes.
Right.
He's been with the Giants for a week and a half.
Now, on one hand, kind of a little bit too much to say for someone who's been here for such a short amount of time.
No, totally agreed.
Right? But he's probably right. Right?
I mean, all this is going on, and supposedly Coach Coughlin, Tom Coughlin, years ago, became this soft and fuzzy nice guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they went to the Super Bowl and beat the 18-0 Patriots and had a magical run. Since then, you know, he's supposedly much nicer and much more lenient, and guys talk out of turn. OCU Manure last year, basically the whole season, complaining about his role.
Jacobs has been complaining since he lost the starting role to Bradshaw in spring training.
Yeah, but Jacobs...
Well, it's not spring training, but...
Right, training camp.
Training camp.
But Jacobs started complaining last year, Cal.
Yeah, he's been a malcontent ever since he's been here, to be
honest.
There are
like six malcontents on this team.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, that doesn't even include Antonio Pierce.
They don't, right.
Who's gone.
Apparently, there's no leadership whatsoever. And I was looking at these quotes from Antrell Roll. Cal, read me that quote. I definitely see little things. What?
Which one was that?
I definitely see little things here and there, and it's not all with the players, Roll said
right.
in an interview on WFAN radio.
Right.
There are a lot of other things that goes on behind That goes on behind closed doors that a lot of people don't know about. It is not all about the players sometimes. Things have to change. If you want a winning team, a team that has a competitive attitude and to have that dog mentality, sometimes you have to let that team be a dog. Everybody can't be controlled. Right now, everything is controlled in this organization. Everything is controlled.
Steve, I need you to explain to me what it means to be a dog. Because that I'm a little fuzzy on.
Is that a good thing?
Well, yeah.
It seems to change within the sentence.
He kind of lost me there.
It seems to change.
Do we or do we not want to be a dog?
Do we not want to have that dog mentality?
Okay, and is being a dog good or bad? Because you can take it both ways.
No wonder this team is confused. Look, Cal, this is a guy who's was brought in to be a leader, has played in a Super Bowl before, you know, with the Cardinals a couple years ago, has never been a quiet guy, has always been a locker room leader, and the Giants need that, apparently, especially with Antonio Pierce gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, dude, Cal, he's been there 9 minutes. I mean, you know, it must be bad. I mean, this is week two.
Right.
And they're 1-1.
That's true. They did win last week.
I mean, what happens if they were 0-2?
I can't imagine. And you know what? They went into Indianapolis last week against an 0-1 Colts team, and there was no way. I don't care how prepared they were for this game or how sharp they were or how dog-like they played. All right? Peyton Manning was not going to lose this game.
No. It was a very difficult – you know, a difficult situation for them coming in to a Colts team that was obviously very angry. Peyton Manning has not been 0-2 since his rookie season. But they could put up a fight, Cal.
Well,
they gave up 160 yards on the ground.
Well, like Antrell Roll says, when you're sitting around the locker room for an hour and a half not doing anything, it's pretty much unheard of. Honestly, I felt we were way too relaxed.
Yeah, well, Joseph Addai and Donald Brown were running rampant. And my question to you, Cal, is the Titans and Chris Johnson up next?
Oh, boy.
I mean, wow.
You might not want to be sipping chamomile tea before the game this week, boys. You know, maybe ride a bike or something.
Yeah, getting rub downs and listening to like soothing music. What is going on in that locker room?
Hop on the Wii Fit and get yourself warm.
Do a little bowling, something.
Something, because you know what? Chris Johnson is going to make you look foolish, because now you got Chris Johnson who's got a little something to prove after he was held under 100 yards for the first time in, what, 18 games?
Right, something
whatever
ridiculous.
It was.
Yeah. So Chris Johnson, and you know what, Cal, this goes back to Perry Fuel, you know, the new defensive coordinator for the Giants. And, you know, it was shades of last year with guys seemingly uninterested in playing defense, let alone,
right.
you know, and Fuel came out and he tried to, you know, he came out in nickel and dime packages. They even deactivated two of their defensive tackles, thinking that they needed to shut down the pass, which makes sense if you're playing Peyton Manning. But you got to adjust. I mean, you got to make some sort of adjustment when Joseph Addai is ripping you to shreds.
Well, Steve, here's the other thing about that. They got rid of the defensive coordinator who was supposed to be the problem in Bill Sheridan. They
right.
got rid of some of the players. The personnel has changed also. So now you've got some new personnel, you've got a new coordinator, and you have the same result. That points the arrow strictly in the direction of the head coach, I think.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And, you know, they did a great job last week of stopping the run against the Panthers. Now, we found out, you know, we're finding out that the Panthers are not a very good football team. And we'll probably see Jimmy Clausen. The Jimmy Clausen era will begin.
Oh, Matt Moore.
That was quick.
That was quick.
People
Boy,
did. You're only a sleeper for a couple of seconds there. You
we hardly knew ye.
So, you know, the Panthers obviously are not a very good football team right now. The Giants did a good job of shutting down a team that ran for 260 yards against them last year. So you thought maybe Perry Fuel had this fixed. It's only 1 week, Cal. I mean, let's, you know, again, same thing we had to do for the Jets last week. Let's do for the Giants this week. It's only 1 week, but you started to get that feel again on defense.
Well, what they have to do is they can't let this snowball and manifest itself into destroying the season. They gotta nip it in the bud. They gotta write it off as 1 week against the top offense, one of the top offenses in the league. Get right back on the horse on Sunday against Tennessee, and they have a chance to right the ship very quickly.
Yeah, I guess the Titans are going to be no easy prey here for the Giants. I do not like this matchup at all. I don't. I mean, I can just see Chris Johnson going nuts. Nuts.
Well,
did I mention nuts?
He might go nuts.
Yeah, and if you have Chris Johnson in your fantasy league, might be a good week to start him. But Cal, and we'll get to fantasy in a minute. But Cal, seriously, with the Giants, one last thing on this. Deactivate Brandon Jacobs. I'm sorry. Do something. I mean, I know they fined him $10,000, but that's not a strong enough message, I think, to that locker room. I think it went on with Hugh Mignola last year. It went on with Antonio Pierce. It's going on with Jacobs. Coach Coughlin, take control back of the locker room.
That would be the first step towards taking control back of this locker room is to deactivate him on Sunday. Because
the message is, you forget about starting. You're not going to play.
He's not starting anyway, which is why this is all happening in the first place.
Right.
Because he can't handle it.
I know, but I don't think it's a strong enough message.
I think
the inmates are running Tom's asylum. And
I
that's
agree.
The last time I can use that analogy or that cliched term.
Well, you know what? He's been around a long time. Maybe he's disconnected from today's athlete a little bit.
Yeah, he might be. But you know what, Cal? He won a Super Bowl, so doesn't matter. Right? He beat the Patriots 3 years ago. Doesn't matter.
No. It could have been 33 years ago at this point.
I'm telling you, if this kind of stuff is going to go on in the locker room and this team is going to go 8-8, and I think they could be better than that because no one's running away with the NFC East, obviously, as the Cowboys sit at 0-2. Everybody else is 1-1. And you don't see anybody really running away with it. Everybody's got their problems. Michael Vick's the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, by the way.
Yes.
The Kevin Colbert era. The Kevin Colbert era. Very quick.
Wow. It was quick, and then it was gone, and then it was back again for like 2 minutes today, and then it was gone again.
Right. You thought the Matt Moore era was quick. At least he got two games. 424-220-1817, the number to call. Now, Cal, we have a sponsor here.
We do.
Yeah, we do. We have our first sponsor. So let me read this this piece of on-air promo. Now, Cal, you know, you and Dr. E-Ray, all right, you guys well know that our fantasy league is very competitive, is it not?
Oh, very competitive.
Yes. Guys are always looking for an edge and probably visit 10 sites a week trying to hunt down advice for their lineups, who to start, who to pick up.
At least 10.
Fantasy football advice sites are like a cottage industry these days. There are more sites than there are players to draft, and they all claim to give you the best advice. But, Cal, which ones do? Ah, see, now we got a new site for you guys that is going to give you a huge edge and take the work out of fantasy. Now, it's called ffadvisor.com. That's fantasyfootballadvisor.com. These guys have gone mathematical with this thing, Cal. They designed an algorithm that tells you what sites to trust when you're deciding who to start, who to sit, who to pick up. And they did a massive survey of fantasy football players to find out what sites fantasy football players trust, which are the most accurate, the most often. So this is a really cool site. This is a really cool idea that these guys have put together. Basically, you know, they're going to let you know every week who's right, what website is right, what fantasy prognosticator has it right. And it's all mathematical.
That certainly sounds like a site that I would visit every week and save myself hours of angst surfing around.
It's going to save you a lot of time. So go to ffadvisor.com. That's ffadvisor.com and take the guesswork out of fantasy football. All right, ready to unload with Cal and Sampete, episode 4. We are 45 minutes in. The number to call, 424-220-1817. Cal. Wow. Boy, that was a lot of announcer voice for me.
I think you did it well.
That was a good deal of announcer voice for this guy.
Well, you made up for 3 weeks of not being here.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Cal, you know what?
What?
The Yankees are still playing meaningful baseball.
Wow.
As they always do. We're going to come back to football later.
We're not quite done with the NFL just yet.
Not just yet, but we got to talk Yankees, Cal.
Of course we do. It's their time of year.
And I know there are callers that want to get in and talk about the Yankees. I know Dr. E-Ray wants us desperately to talk about the Yankees. So we'll talk.
Well, let's start off by saying that the Yankees are winning 7-3 right now in the bottom of the seventh against Tampa Bay, their closest rival right now.
Uh-huh.
A win here would put them 2.5 games up in the AL East.
Yes.
For the division.
And I think the big news, Cal, coming out of this, there are a couple of things that we really wanted to get to about the Yanks. One was, of course, last night's stirring ceremony at the stadium where the Yankees honored and paid tribute to, of course, George Steinbrenner, the late George Steinbrenner, with a plaque and a rather large plaque, I might add. A lot of celebrities on hand, a lot of old Yankees. And, of course, the big story at that, Cal, was, you know, going into the series with the Rays, and they're a game and a half, or they were a half game back, blah blah blah, four game set. But Joe Torre, remember him?
Joe Torre. That same name sounds familiar.
Had a prostate problem. There were pictures of his prostate in the Daily News every day.
Yeah, he cried a lot.
Cried every once. So I had a brother named Frank.
Right.
Played ball. He played ball.
Yeah, he was a good ball player at one point, wasn't he?
Joe Torre, the current manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Which it kind of gets lost in all of this when you think about it, right?
He's still managing the season?
He's actually the manager of the team.
Well, Torre and Don Mattingly, who will be the new Dodgers manager next year, because Joe Torre is stepping down as Dodgers manager, were back at the stadium. And I thought... This was interesting to me because a lot of Yankee fans seem to be mixed on this. And I'd like to bring in Dr. E-Ray for a second, as he is our resident Yankee fan. But there was a mixed opinion about whether Torre, for his first time back at the stadium, whether this was appropriate. Dr. E-Ray, did you find Joe Torre's appearance at the stadium last night at the Steinbrenner tribute appropriate?
I can't imagine anyone would find it inappropriate. He was just a huge part of Yankee lore. I mean, won many World Series. Why shouldn't he be able to honor his former boss? I don't get it.
Can I tell you why? Well, why people might find it inappropriate is the book that he wrote once he left here. I think a lot of people.
Oh, that's right.
The Yankees.
I don't think any Yankee fan cares about that book. If anybody would find that inappropriate, it might be A-Rod or Cashman, and clearly they didn't say anything. I, as a Yankee fan, it means nothing to me. I'm glad to have Torre back. I think judging by the standing ovation, most people agreed.
That's it's awesome, Ev, seriously, to get your take, because I had heard some fans call up some local stations here in New York and say, you know, screw him, and you know, who is he to come back? He, you know, he stabbed Cashman in the back, and he stabbed Steinbrenner in the back, and wrote a tell-all after he left, and blah 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 blah. And I totally agree with you, Ev. I think that's ridiculous. The guy won 4 World Series, made 6 appearances. I mean, come on now.
I mean, if anybody has a bone to pick, you know, Torrey was completely left out of that whole montage, you know, that they did earlier, you know, when they retired the stadium. I mean, come on, the guy won 4 World Series. How do you leave
right.
him out of that?
Right, exactly. So if anybody would have had a bone to pick, it would have been him. And, you know, I think he did the right thing and came, you know, pay respect to his old boss. The
Absolutely.
Boss.
Absolutely.
Now, all right. So we
by the way,
that
by the way, how gaudy is that monument? Did you guys see? It's literally 30 times larger than any other monument. All right, we get it. We get it. You're the owner, the boss. We got it.
Yeah, nothing like the subtlety of a 60-foot plaque for the guy. It dwarfs like DiMaggio's and
Babe Ruth.
I don't know how many. Yeah. How many batting titles did George Steinbrenner win?
You guys know how I feel about Steinbrenner. God rest his soul, but I mean, come on. Listen, he was the owner of the team. He did lots of good things. He did lots of bad things. He was a douche of a boss, from what I understand, for
many,
many
douche?
Years.
I think we just did twice.
For many years. And I just, you know, listen, you're going to make his monument literally 30 times Washington, the greatest Yankees of all time. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
It does feel a little bit like rewriting history, because when he was alive and when he was in his prime, he was very polarizing to Yankee fans. Some fans loved him, some fans hated him. As a matter of fact, Dr. Urey, if you could correct me on this, most fans didn't like him. Is that right?
Well, I will say without a doubt that most fans of my generation did not like him. And I grew up, you know, obviously I was born, you know, in the early 70s. Oh, boy. And, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s, early 90s, those teams were horrible. And there wasn't a Yankee fan that I know that liked him. I mean, there were some awful moves. Danny Tartable, come on.
I think the irony that lies in the fact that he will have the biggest monument in the new stadium, in the new Yankee Stadium, when the man threatened, literally held the city hostage,
right,
to get it built, and threatened so many times to move the team to get a new stadium. And this is when they were losing, of course. You know, then once they started winning, and he started drawing, you know, 3-4 million fans a year in the mid-90s, then it was fine. Then apparently the parking situation was just fine. But I find it ironic that he's in that new stadium with the biggest money. But, again, you know, what do you expect? His sons own and run the team. You know, I mean, what is Hal going to do, like give him a little tiny plaque?
I guess I'm just happy that his face isn't carved into the outfield.
Like mowed into the lawn?
Yeah, just mowed into the lawn. Like that's the standard of the outfield care now.
That would be awesome. Now, I'm sorry. Actually, I kind of want to see that. Can they do that? I kind of want to see that.
Like,
now
his image was on every base. Right.
And they're changing the name of strikes at the stadium to Steinbrenner's.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, the interesting thing about tonight's game, guys, is this. One of the things we want to talk about is that as the Yankees approach the playoffs, and I think their magic number is 5 now to clinch a playoff spot, is Phil Hughes pitched tonight. Phil Hughes. And he goes 6 1/3, 3 earned runs, 5 walks, 6 strikeouts. That Yankee playoff rotation is really where the discussion is at. We'd love to hear from you about this, 424-220-1817. Cal and Dr. Urey, Andy Pettit comes back the other day, right? You know, what does that rotation look like?
Well, you know, we've been talking about this. You have CeCe Sabathia is the one guy that you can count on. He's the only one that you can feel real comfortable throwing out there in the playoffs. After Sabathia, you're looking at Hughes or Hughes. I don't know whether you pronounce the H or not, but I'm going to say no. So Hughes.
Is he British?
Philip Hughes.
It might be Gogging. Yeah, I think it's Gogging. It's be silent.
So you got Hughes. You've got Pettit now that he's back. And Burnett would have to be your fourth starter at that point. And, you know, we kind of address this rotation every week when we talk, and it doesn't inspire confidence right now.
So you would have to separate the lefties, right? You would go CeCe, Hughes, and Petit.
In a perfect world, you wouldn't. You'd want Pettit in that second game.
You guys, I have a quick question. Why do we have to separate the lefties? Why is that a rule?
I don't think it's
You have to. You also can't let lefties bat against lefty pitchers.
Did you not read the? Did you not get the memo?
Did Tony La Russa contact you or no?
I didn't get a memo from him, but can you explain to me why that's a rule? You have to separate lefties. People can't see lefties back to back. Is there like some revelation that happens in the second time you see them?
In a playoff series, you know what? I don't know. Call Bobby. Can we get Bobby Valentine up?
Yeah, I think he wrote that chapter actually on rotation etiquette.
I mean, honestly, there are teams though where you would want to throw two lefties out there, like the Mets. You know, 3 years ago.
Why wouldn't you want your two best pitchers go in the first two games and be up 2-0? Why wouldn't that be the case?
Right, like why should you care?
You should always do that.
I would agree. You hear that kind of conventional, what is quote unquote conventional wisdom. And you know what? Until guys like you, Dr. Iray, start questioning the conventions, nothing is going to change. That's it? Nothing, guys? Nothing?
No, I agree. You're right on.
Can we get some sort of chant going here? Something? Donna Martin graduates? Anything. Something.
I'm still just trying to figure out how we can change the term strike to Steinbrenner's.
I want to name something a Steinbrenner from now on. Can we call something a Steinbrenner?
Oh.
Please?
It's got to be something. Maybe a bunt.
No, it's got to be something that's like
a sacrifice inside, Steinbrenner.
Inside the park home run. He's going to round third. He's going to try for a Steinbrenner.
He's going for the Steinbrenner. But they're only in the stadium.
Right.
Like only if you get one in the new Yankee Stadium. Or we can just call it the stadium now.
Yeah, you can't hit a Steinbrenner on the road.
No. It's got to be in the Yankee Stadium. So I would start both lefties too. I mean, the heck with it. Enough with the convention. Enough with your rules, man.
You know, let's look at the Phillies for a second. You think the Phillies are going to break up Halliday and Oswalt in the playoffs?
Well, as well as Hamels is pitching, maybe.
Well, that's
Hamels is really pitching well. The Phillies are just – the Phillies have that luxury.
I guess they do.
But you know what? If you're the Yankees, your two best pitchers are CeCe and Pettit. Throw them games 1 and 2, and enough now.
Then the story should be ended right there.
Come on now. Enough. I've had enough with it. So you go CeCe, Pettit, and you pray for rain in game 3.
Well, then you got Hughes. I'm not that worried about Hughes. Maybe I haven't watched him enough. Maybe you worried about him?
Yes. I just do not trust Phil Hughes in a big spot. I don't trust him.
Do you trust Burnett?
No. Dear Lord, no.
Do you trust Vasquez? Do you trust Ivan Nova?
Ivan Nova?
Ivanova?
Ivanova.
You trust him in the third set at the Wimbledon finals.
That's the only place I trust him.
Okay.
is down 30 love. Break point. That's the only place I trust him. No, you would have to go Hughes in that spot, but you better hope you're up 2-0. And you better hope you're up 2-0 in the series.
They're going to have to hit.
Right. Dr. Iray, before we go around the MLB a little bit, and there's really only one place to go. I mean, really the only place to go is the NL West. But just real quick on the Yankees, Dr. Iray, you know, we're coming up on the playoffs. What is it, 2 weeks? Maybe 2 weeks left of this regular season? And, you know, you're going into this now. You got Pettit back. He looked good on Sunday. But how do you feel about this team? And how do you feel about the potential matchup with Texas?
All right. Well, I have some very good Yankee, close Yankee friends. One of them includes my father, of course, who have been just so down on the Yankees all year. They feel it's not the Yankees' year. The team's not that good. And I respond to them every time, you tell me a team that is better, okay? Tell me what team in the American League is consistently better than this team across the board. I think the Yankees have a chance to win this thing again because I don't think there's another team that really stands out right now. Texas has beaten them a few times. I will never believe Texas is going to beat them in the playoffs until I see it because they never do. They never do.
Right. Well, is that enough for you to go on? The never
yes,
do
it is.
For Larry?
Yes, it is. Because, you know, you got Josh Hamilton now officially has broken ribs.
Right.
That lineup suddenly becomes significantly less scary. I'm not just not convinced.
Okay. And you don't like, you know, even having to go against Cliff Lee twice in a series?
Yeah, listen, they did it already, and they were able to prevail. I'm not too worried about that. The truth is, I'm not even worried about Tampa at all. I'm just glad Boston's not there. That's all I don't care about.
Wow. Why is it Yankee fans are that way, though?
Because I don't think Tampa has any experience to beat us in the playoffs. They just haven't done it. Boston scares me.
Right.
You
right.
sound a little defensive, Dr. E. Ray. I have to say.
You just got a little Nathan Thurm there from the old Saturday Night Live. I'm not being defensive. Who says I'm being defensive?
The two teams in the playoffs that we're going to play in the first round are Minnesota or Texas, and our history versus them is tremendous.
Right. So you're relying on history now at this point?
I am, because so far it has worked.
Right. And what about the series you just had with the Rangers? Nothing to worry about there?
No, listen, of course any team could beat a team in a series. I get it. In the playoffs, I think the Yankees will beat Texas. That's what I think.
I would agree with you. I don't know if this is the, I don't know if this is the year that you can just rely on
history.
Yeah, the history aspect of it.
Well, I'm saying that as a fan, but the reality is I don't think Texas is a better team than us in every aspect of their lineup, their pitching, their bullpen. I just don't think so.
Right. No, it's fair. I mean, I think the Rangers would have the only thing the Rangers really have is that they can score some runs. But, you know, I agree with you. I mean, I'll take the history aspect of it without a doubt. I just think that it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting because this Yankee team is going to have to score 6 or 7 runs a game, at least in the AL, you know, playoffs until they get to the World Series. Then they're going to need to pitch.
I think you are spinning fool's gold if you're going to just go on history, because
yeah.
it's
Wait, what?
You like
spinning spinning fool's gold?
No, I meant spending fool's gold.
Spending. Oh.
You're spending.
I was going to say, I don't know if you can spin gold.
No, you flaxen maybe.
I think you're mixing. I think you're mixing metaphors there.
I might be, but you, I believe that it's foolish to just go based on history and just, you know, we're the Yankees and we've done this before, so obviously we'll do it again. I think you got to take these teams seriously this year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's take a call, Cal, and let's go out to Dan in Manhattan. Calling in to talk about the Yankees. Hey, Dan, welcome to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Pete. What's on your mind?
Hey there, guys. I just wanted to give a little evenness to this conversation. The 2-on-1 here, Mets on Dr. E-Ray. I mean, you know, all the Yankee paranoia is just, I mean, we're splitting hairs here. This is the best team in the league with the best record in the league with a stacked stacked with good starting pitchers. I mean, just because some of the, Hughes tailed off a bit, I understand, Burnett is a little erratic, but he did it last year. I mean, I look at the competition here, and I agree with Dr. E-Ray. I don't feel worried about the competition. I'm happy that Boston is not going to be in the mix. And I think this is just a lot of worrying.
You know what, Dan? I got to say, you're absolutely right. And we were ganging up a little bit on Dr. E. Ray because we like to have fun with him because Well, frankly, as Mets fans, we have nothing left at this point in the season.
We're jealous.
But no, honestly, Dan, you make a great point. And there is you're talking about a team with the best record in baseball, or at least the best record in the American League. You're talking about a team that is ridiculously stacked up and down the lineup. You know, that any guy 1 through 9 can beat you. And you're talking about a team that, if it gets any sort of starting pitching, should be in the World Series without any sort of problem. I think the problem is the water level, you know, the high water mark for the Yankees is so high. They are the defending champions, and they're the Yankees. And so you get nitpicky. But you're absolutely right, Dan. You're absolutely right.
It's nitpicky, and I think it's just the demeanor of the Yankee culture right now to nitpick like this, because if you transplant the same team in another town, I think most of the sports talk conversation would be chest thumping, you know, which it probably is like in Philly right now, even though, you know, I think that they are, you know, second rate compared to the Yankees.
Now, Dan, let me ask you a question. The Yankees won the World Series last year. They clearly have the best team in the American League this year. So why all the angst from the Yankee fans that are panicking or nitpicking a little bit?
I don't pretend to know, Cal. I don't pretend to know. I think it's like any weirdness to any particular little culture. You know, like, this is just the way you're allowed to act if you're a Yankee fan. You can call out for Jeter's head if he's not batting .285, and you can demand to get Cliff Lee as your third starter. I mean, to me, it's an absurd Yankee universe, and I'm just a fan who enjoys the games. But I think it's Yankee fan absurdity.
One last thing for you, Dan, and thank you. We're going to start calling you Dan, the voice of reason from Manhattan. Or Danny Reason, something. We'll come up with some sort of nickname. Dan the Reasonable
Yankee. Gary Reason.
Dan Gary Reason.
Harry Reasoner.
But Dan, one more thing before we let you go. Now, you said something that's critical. I've heard a lot of Yankee fans say it. It's this built-in glad the Red Sox aren't in it. Right? I'm just glad the Red Sox are not going to be in the playoffs.
You know what? I got to say, I misspoke, because when that came out, I realized I didn't really mean it, because the postseason's much more fun when you're biting your nails against the Red Sox.
Well,
that was
one thing I was going to bring up, because as a baseball fan, I love it, especially considering the Mets are you know, there once a decade. So at least there's watching.
Yeah, I'm going to recant that.
Right, but there's another reason to me to maybe think about recanting, and that is, I understand that the other teams that are going to be in, and like Dr. Ire said, you're not afraid of Minnesota. You're not afraid of the Rangers. Okay, but I disagree with Dr. Ire when he says, I don't think the Rays know how to beat the Yankees.
Oh, I agree. Well, I agree with you on this one. I agree with you on this one. They're a dangerous team.
I think
they're
dangerous.
So talented, you know, I'm afraid of the Rays, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't know if it's afraid. I mean, they could easily knock you off. They could easily knock you off. I mean, you're still the Yankees, you know, and you're still the best team in the American League, in my opinion. You're still the defending champions. You still have the cachet of Yankee Stadium. You still have, you know, all the history, the lore. It's tough to come into Yankee Stadium, new or old, and win a series. But I think the Rays, out of those three teams going to the playoffs, play very loose, and they're very young, and they're almost like too stupid to know better. You know what I mean? But Dr. Ire wants to jump in on this. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I brought this up on the show before, but I mean, I'm looking at this lineup the Rays are putting out there tonight, and I understand, you know, they have some very, very good players, but this lineup does not scare me. Dan Johnson is batting fifth on this team. You know, Matt Joyce is batting sixth. This team, I understand their pitching is very good, and that's important in the playoffs, but they don't scare me as much as a team like the Red Sox might with all their history versus the Yankees.
But they're going to win 95 games.
I understand.
I mean, they're winning 95 games with that lineup in the AL East. So they're scoring enough runs. It's not just their pitching, and they still do have some guys that can hurt you.
So let me ask you a real question, you know, real quick. If the Yankees play the Rays in the ALCS, you would feel very comfortable knowing that the Yankees are going to go to the World Series?
No, I feel pretty good about the chances there, yes.
Okay, that's fair. You know, that's I just wanted to bring up the point that, to me, with the Rays, it's more like, yeah, I don't think they have the fear or they don't have the history. They, you know, they've never played the Yankees in the playoffs. You know, so they don't have any history there. There's no playoff history there. So, you know,
hope that disrespecting Dan Johnson doesn't come back to haunt us all, Dr. E-Ray.
Dan, Gary Reasons, the voice of reason. Thank you, Dan. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you down the line,
Thanks
pal.
Thanks for the time, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan does a great job calming us all down and reminding us. Do not mess.
I'll be honest. We might be calm. I don't think Dr. E-Ray is calm right now, though.
Well, you know what, though, Cal? I like it.
Pretty calm.
I like it when he's fired up, though.
Nah, it's good.
I like it when he's fired, because usually with the Yankees, it's like, oh, ho-hum, another 100 wins. Here we go. You know, and last year, Dr. E-Ray, you can attest to this. You can atone for this. You can do anything with an A and a T following it. You can attribute it to this, whatever you like. But last year, you got into that team for the first time in a long time.
No, that was a very easy team to root for. There's no doubt about it. They had all the walk-offs and bringing the fresh blood of CeCe and Burnett and even Melky was, you know, made you want to root for that team. This team's been a little more difficult, but the reality is that when I look at the teams in the American League, I just think they're better.
I think they are too.
I think they are. I think their lineup is better. I don't know how you could feel extraordinarily comfortable throwing CeCe Sabathia, a 38-year-old Andy Pettitte with a bad groin, and Phil Hughes out there, and have that be your three-man rotation. Because I think plenty of or the other teams match up just as well. I do. So when you look at their lineup, yeah, they should score 8 runs a game. Okay, but that rotation does not scare me. And that bullpen leading up to the greatest closer of all time is not exactly kid-tested, mother-approved. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Steve? You're going to tell me that C.J. Wilson and Kobe Lewis, those guys are going to be fine in the playoffs? They've never done it before?
I've been doing it all year.
I'm just saying.
No, but the playoffs is a different animal, Cal. You know that.
Yeah, it's a different animal for the Yankee bullpen as well. Except for Mariano. I gave you the closer, absolutely. You have the greatest postseason closer of all time. You have the greatest regular season closer.
I'm talking about the starting pitching here, though. You know, Texas starting pitching is something that's carried them, and I just don't think that they're proven commodities. They're going to do so great in the playoffs.
Has Cliff Lee done in the playoffs?
Yeah.
No, but you know what? And he's got a good point, because you know what? A.J. Burnett, the guy that everybody's worried about, what did he do in the playoffs last year? He actually performed well in the playoffs.
Well, he was up and down, Cal. Let's not get crazy.
In the playoffs, he pitched a great game against the Phillies.
Have you seen Cliff Lee's numbers since he's been pitching for Texas, by the way?
Yeah, I also saw what did he do to the Yankees last time he faced him?
No, I understand, but he's 4-5 with a 4.10 ERA since he's pitching for Texas. You know,
that's not lights out. That's absolutely fine. He's done it in the playoffs before.
Yeah, because if we're going to use that point, you got to worry about Cliff Lee, regardless of his regular season record.
And E-Ray, it's a great point, because you do have guys like C.J. Wilson who have never pitched in the playoffs before, and you have Andy Pettitte. But I'm just saying, the Rangers have an ace. The Rangers have a guy who's pitched in the playoffs before. The Twins have guys who have pitched in the playoffs before. And if I'm a Yankee fan, the one thing I'm just not super great about right now is that rotation going into a short series. I'm a little worried about it. CeCe's obviously been dominant. He's probably the Cy Young Award winner in my opinion. You know, but the rest of that rotation, Andy Pettitte coming back, and Phil Hughes and AJ Burnett, who's been awful this year. Awful. I mean, for three quarters of the year, awful. But, you know, I would be a little nervous about that. But they should score 8 runs anyway. 424-220-1817, the number to call. Dr. E-Ray, thanks for being a good good sport there. taking it on the chin. There is a fine coming your way. Dr. E-Ray is saying there should be a fine coming your way. There is. You know why? But it's not for what you think it is. It's because you said no doubt about it.
You did say that.
And we live in a no doubt about it. Ready to unload is a no doubt about it free zone.
That being said.
Because the next thing you know, you'll be saying, bro. And you'll be...
Well, listen, there's no need for apologies. I've been having this argument with the two of yous for how long?
For as long as I care to remember. And you'll be saying stellar and bro. Stellar, bro.
And, yeah.
424-22
I'm going to stop right now.
18-17, the number to call. This is Ready to Unload with Cal and Sampete. The date. I didn't even give the date. It's September 21st, 2010. This is episode 4, and we are into hour 2 of Ready to Unload, episode 4, on WBTR, blogtalkradio.com. Cal, you know what time of the night it is?
It's 10:15.
Okay, good. Good segue. Well, we knocked that one out of the park. That was good.
Oh, that.
Right, I meant what time.
It's the time of the...
Right, not literally.
Or the show. It's time for the fun load, Steve.
That's correct. Tonight's fun load is brought to you by JokerDesign.net. Yes, JokerDesign.net for all your web design needs. The boys at JokerDesign.net designed our site, www.rtusports.com. Check it out. You can listen to the show live from there. And also check out www.rtusports.com. During the week, we have some cool things going on there, Cal, before we get to the fun load.
Yeah, get into that a little bit because
we've been
recruiting lately.
Right. What we're trying to do and what we've been largely successful at doing is getting some of the guys – that we know that are real good writers and have real good opinions and unloads on sports, and asking them if basically assembling a stable of sorts, Cal.
Yeah.
It's a stable of writers to blog weekly for us. And they're going to be on specific days, and we got Matt Silvestri coming over from Caught Looking. His spot is going to be called Caught Looking, and that'll be on Thursdays. And we have another guy, Jimmy James, who's written for us before. He's going to have a spot on Tuesdays. Regular blog columns about all sorts of stuff, whether it be sports, pop culture and sports, movies and sports, whatever they feel like writing about. And that's going to be on the website, so check that out. There's going to be a lot more blog-type content on www.rtusports.com, designed by JokerDesigns.net, www.jokerdesigns.net. Ask for Billy Gefkin. And now, the fun load, Cal. Fun load.
We do need some sort of music or jingle, don't we?
We're afraid to play music right now. We're still getting into the new studio here at WBTR.
Well, you know what, Steve? I think we can play music. I just don't think we can talk while we play music.
Well, let's try this. I'm going to do this.
Okay.
Okay. So that should the music should be playing. That's nice. Okay.
I think that's nice. We could talk.
We're talking over that. That's nice.
I hear you.
Welcome to the fun load. Oh, it's bending the music a little bit, though. That makes me nervous. Welcome to the fun load tonight on ReadyToUnload.com. ReadyToUnload.com. Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Pete. And it's working. It's sort of working. And this fades, Cal. I put this together today.
That's even better.
Look at that. Check it out.
Look at it, it's fading away.
Yeah, and then and scene.
And you know what? It's,
and into the fun load.
So now what it's doing is it's making me think about all of the teams that I root for.
Wow.
But, you know, the music fades and my memory takes me back.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Going back. And I often question, especially these days, why did I become a Mets fan?
Yes.
Did I have a choice in the matter? Was I destined to become a Mets fan and a lifetime of heartache and disappointment? Do I have an opportunity to save my kids from a lifetime of heartache and disappointment? How does it happen, Steve? How does it happen?
Well, that's what we're going to get into tonight in the RTU Fun Load. How did we choose the teams that we love? How does it happen?
Do we choose?
How did we get here?
That's the first question. Do we choose it, or are we born into it?
Or do they choose us?
Or do they choose us?
That doesn't make any sense for this, but I just wanted to say that.
Deep?
It is. It's very deep. It's ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense, but I wanted to say it. No, how do we choose the teams that we love? Now, let's throw out an obvious one. Okay?
Because we you know, and you and I share a lot of these teams.
Yes, we do.
So yes, we can kind of speak to our experiences, maybe.
Obviously, location. Location, location, location. Obviously, where you grew up can often dictate who you rooted for. Now, we have a special situation here in New York, and New York City specifically, because we had so many professional teams. You also have teams that have been here for 100 years. Cal, you know what the old saying is, right?
You are what you eat.
You know what the other old saying is, right?
No, I'm not familiar with the other one.
The other old saying about what teams in New York you root for. Why are you a Met fan? Well, because my grandparents were Brooklyn Dodger fans.
That's right.
Okay, so there were certain things that are passed down to you. They're based on location. You didn't find a lot of Yankee fans in the 40s and 50s in Brooklyn.
No.
You found an awful lot of Brooklyn Dodger fans. Then when the Brooklyn Dodgers moved, you certainly weren't going to root for the Yankees.
Well, but that's not true. You talk to some people, they did root for the Yankees at that point.
Very rare. Very rare, Cal.
That's true. An American League team, it was rare.
Exactly. Plus, you hated the Yankees if you were a Dodger fan, and vice versa.
You should have.
You know, but a lot of it is location. You know, we grew up in New York. There's 9 professional sports teams. We're probably going to root for one of them, right?
You would think.
Now, how about what I just mentioned too, Cal, about who did you watch sports with when you were growing up?
Yeah, well, in my case, I was introduced to sports from my father. So my first experience with sports would have been whatever he was watching on TV at the time. Now, my father, and I'm sure he'll listen to the replay.
Yes.
And I will make sure he listens to the replay.
Waffle House
himself. The story. Growing up, I was a Mets fan, okay, and all I knew were the Mets, and I was under the illusion that my father was a Mets fan for this whole, you know, our whole life. And in 1996, all of a sudden, my father starts walking around with a Yankee sweatshirt on, and I'm like, what? You know, I'm confused. You know, I'm 22 years old. I'm just out of college, trying to find my way, and now I'm confused by something that I always thought I knew has now suddenly changed. Turns out he was a Yankee fan way back in the day.
Right.
And when the Mets came into existence, it was, the old lovable Mets, and he kind of joined in. And apparently, throughout the years, he's kind of bounced back and forth as the situation dictated.
Unacceptable.
But what happened was, because I was born into, or I grew up, my formative years were during a time of Met prosperity, that is the team that he had chosen at that particular time in life, and that's how I became a Mets fan.
So it just so happened that at those couple of weeks, Waffle House was watching the Mets, and you became a Mets fan. So you could have easily been a Yankee fan.
Very easily.
And not
so,
gotten through all this.
And so much easier than I ever thought, as it turned out.
Now,
you know?
Dr. E-Ray, we all know, we just talked about what your Yankee fandom, and I'm sure that comes from your dad, because I know your dad is a huge, you said your dad's a huge Yankee fan, so I'm sure you grew up watching the Yankees, but I want to ask you about your football allegiance. This is very, very interesting how you came to the Jets.
Wow.
Am I putting you on the spot?
I'm not ready to talk about that right now. No,
we're not in group or anything right now. You don't have to.
My name is Devin Eisenberg, and I was a former Giant fan. No, here's how it worked. I grew up, I wasn't really that into football. I was just so much into baseball. Football didn't really matter to me, but I was a Giant fan. I was a definite Giant fan growing up, and at some point I just stopped really caring about football for a long period of time, and I just became so into Cravette, you know, and the fact that he was this short guy who was able to accomplish so much, you know, just the whole story appealed to me, and I liked the whole Parcells angle. So in the late 90s, when those guys were for the Jets, I just started rooting for them, and then next thing I know, I'm a diehard Jet fan, and that's that.
Wow. So that's how it came to be for you to go to the Jets. So we're talking about this idea, folks, 424-220-1817, RTUers, to call in and tell us about how you came to root for the teams that you did. So, you know, you kind of came at it because of the player, because it was just a player that was, you know, so good you had to just root for the Jets. Right.
I think that's an unusual way to do it, but I mean, for me, that's how it started. I mean, I just started really rooting for Corbett, and I liked Parcells and Testaverde. Like, these were guys that I rooted for, and I just gravitated towards them, and I found myself not really caring as much about the other team.
But right. a little more logical, because it was another team in town. So this was a second team that you did have full access to. It wasn't like it was a team from another market.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've dealt a lot with, especially, you know, I went to college out of state. You know, I went to college at the University of Dayton, so I was in Ohio, as you guys well know. And you get asked all the time, you know, from people not from New York, how come you're a Met fan and not a Yankee fan? Or how come you're a Jet fan and not a Giant fan? So we have like a unique situation in New York, which a lot of other places have, a number of other cities have, because they have two local pro teams in town. But I guess I get asked it a lot, and the answer is always, I started watching the Mets with my grandmother, you know, when I was like three, and I started watching the Jets with my uncles, you know, when I was about four. So it was strictly family for me, you know, watching with your family, and it was just passed down. Like, the Giants were never an option. And neither were the Yankees. You know, now my brother, you guys would be interested to know, switched. He was a Yankee fan until he was about 12.
Really?
And then I convinced him to be a Mets fan. And we had a ceremony and everything. I'll never forget it. We did it in the back of my dad's station wagon. I think we were driving to Brooklyn to go to my grandmother's. And I, like, you know, de-Yankeed him, took his Yankee hat, and gave him a Met hat. It was like ceremony and everything.
Wow.
And my brother, I think, to this day remembers that. And still curses me for taking the Yankees away from him, for talking him into the Mets.
So it was your fault.
It seemed like such a good idea at the time. It was 83. You had Hubie Brooks. They had just traded for Hernandez.
Here they come. The Yankees weren't that great at the time.
Right. Strawberry just came up. You know, it was a good-looking team.
Things are looking up.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because Dr. E-Ray asked, who did my dad root for as a kid? And my dad was not super into sports. He's still, my dad's a Giant fan.
Right.
A football Giant fan. I think as a kid, he liked baseball, but he was into the Dodgers a little bit and the New York Giants before they moved to San Francisco. Never a Yankee guy. But my dad just liked good baseball. You know? But he over time, has become a Met fan. Now, I remember listening to Met games with my grandfather, that's for sure. My father's father, on the transistor radio sitting out on the stoop in Brooklyn.
Wow.
You know, but, you know, these are the memories that you associate with your family, and that's how these teams become beloved. But, Cal, I got to ask you.
Mm.
Now, there's the situation where you talked about going to college and then coming home and, you know, struggling to find your way, which was very dramatic.
Actually, but see, that the ironic part about that is I never left home for college.
I was gonna say. But you... You went to St. John's.
I did. So I left Long Island, not actually Long Island proper, because I was still on the island, but I went to Queens.
So anyway, when you make this big tumultuous move back, 25 miles up the LIE,
you mean drive home from school that day? Because I was still living at home.
Yeah, you've been a Met fan since. I mean, come on. You and I have known each other since we're 8 years old, and one of the first things that we ever talked about was the Mets.
That's right.
I mean, we have shared this bond.
That's how we met, pretty much.
Exactly.
We were both Met fans in baseball camp, and it just so happened.
That's correct. And the Islanders, you know,
right,
which is our other big bond. Now, you spent years rooting for the Dolphins.
That's right.
Which we talked about a little bit last week, and, you know, what gives, my friend?
Yeah, that's just that. is a story that has no explanation. I grew up, I started as a Jet fan. When I first started watching football, I was a Jet fan. And I've told this story before, but now we have a different audience, so it's a good story to tell again.
Right.
As a Jet fan, I never went to a Jet game when they played at Shea Stadium. Then in 1983, the Jets moved from Shea Stadium to the Meadowlands. They moved to Jersey.
Right.
And all I knew as a 9-year-old, all I could equate that to was, if the Jets move to New Jersey, my father will never take me to a game in New Jersey. I might have had a shot at Shea Stadium, but he was not crossing state lines to take me to a football game.
Yeah, I mean, New Jersey, when you're 11, is like, and you live on Long Island, is like they might as well have moved to Wyoming.
You needed a passport to get
That's
to
New Jersey.
That's correct. Yeah, I think you do. And now it's, so at the same time that that happened, the Dolphins with Dan Marino were in the Super Bowl against the 49ers.
Right.
That was the year that they beat the Jets. And I started watching the Dolphins, and I took a liking to them. And for some reason, I remember it as clear as day. In 1980, I was 10 years old, and I just decided I'm not a Jet fan anymore because I'm never going to get to see a Jet game. So I'm a Dolphins fan.
Right.
And I stuck with being a Dolphins fan for over 20 years. And it got to the point where it was ridiculous because I was sick of following a team that was located in a different city.
Yes, especially that team.
Especially that team. And then I started to get jealous because everybody else, you know, were becoming Jet. You know, you were either a Jet fan or, like in Dr. E-Ray's case, he became a Jet fan. And everybody was going that way. And I felt very left out.
Right. So at age 34.
As an adult, yes.
the feelings of exile and were so strong that you decided to go, hey, we're happy to have you. You know that.
I know. And when the Dolphins went 1-15 a couple of years ago, I just said, you know what? This is my time. I had been flirting with the Jets. There had been situations where the Jets would play the Dolphins, and I found myself confused. I wasn't sure where to go. And finally, I just decided, you know what? I'm going to be a Jet fan, starting last year, because I wanted in on all the fun.
Right. You were making eyes with the Jets for a while. And
I was. But and you know me well enough to know that I'm not just doing it to jump on a bandwagon. I am now all in with the Jets.
No, you're not a bandwagon guy. When you root for a team, it's deep, man.
It's for life.
Yes. Now, so some of the other things you were talking about with this, Cal, that are interesting. I was going to say, like, you go to college, and, like, I went to Dayton. So, you know, I wasn't getting all fired up about Dayton football. I did get into Dayton college basketball, but we grew up without college teams, really.
That's right.
The only college sports you really rooted for were St. John's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I rooted for Syracuse against St. John's, just to be contrarian.
Right.
And because I like Sherm Douglas and Roni Cicely.
Hard not to like them.
And DC, Derek Coleman.
What's up? Coleman.
So we really didn't have college teams to root for. I'm sure you got into St. John's basketball while you were there and stuff like that.
I did.
But what about the situation, Cal, where you have, like, we grew up with a lot of these people in New York, and a lot more people than you would think. Like the Cowboy fan from Mineola, Long Island.
Yeah.
Like, how does that happen? And is it acceptable?
Well, that was like I was the Dolphin fan from Comac.
Yeah, but...
And I think the fans of teams from other markets, I would have to think that, especially our age group, teams like the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Raiders, these were the powerhouse teams of the 70s.
Right.
And, you know, people our age maybe grew up in a household where these were the teams that were always on TV.
Well, yeah, I think a big factor in that is at the time you couldn't watch anybody you wanted to.
That's right.
You know, so and you also, like, in football, I know a lot of Cowboy fans from New York only got one game a week. The Giants were awful.
Right.
The Jets were the Jets, meaning awful.
Right.
And you watch the Cowboys, you know, they're America's team. They're on every week. So you actually got to see them, so why wouldn't you watch? You know, why wouldn't you become a Cowboys fan? I mean, I guess I can understand it, but...
You see, I think that's acceptable.
Right, I guess... I don't like it.
No, I don't like it at all.
Yeah, Dr.
What,
E-Ray.
Yeah, what don't you like about it, Dr. E-Ray?
Listen, I don't know if it's right or not. I don't know. But whenever I was growing up and I saw a guy who told me he was a Cowboys fan or a Steelers fan, whatever team was in first place at the time and won championships, it made me angry. Like, I'm like, that's not the way it should be. I'm sorry. You grew up in this area. You pick a team. That's your team.
I that's difficult to argue with, especially in New York. You know, I mean, it's
right
it's,
when you have more than
got,
one option.
You got so many choices. You got to go outside.
Unless you have family ties somewhere else, or you lived there once before, it's not acceptable to me. I'm sorry.
Well, like it's. I went to. You know, I lived in L.A. for a while. You guys remember that? You saw the movie. I lived in L.A. for a couple of years and stuff. And I'm a Knicks fan, but I'm not some sort of big basketball fan. I certainly didn't move there and adopt the Lakers. You know, but we've talked about this on another show long time ago. We talked about the idea of like moving to another town and you're staying there. Is it okay to adopt another team? We all agreed that it was okay. You know, but because we talked about what you would do if your team moved.
Right.
But this is different to me, though. Like, if you grew up, I will always be a Met fan. You know, if I move someplace else, I will always be a Met fan. So I think that the transplanted fan is okay by me. But the kid who grew up in Comac on Long Island and is somehow a Cowboys fan, I don't like it.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Especially if he's our age. Sorry, Cal. Especially if he's our age. I can see if, you know, he was watching the Cowboys in the 70s. These guys were 4 years old. You know?
Right.
So you had good Giant teams to root for. You had a good, you know, good Jet teams in the early 80s, early to mid 80s to root for. Come on now. Get on board.
Okay. but here's the question I wanted to throw out to you guys. Do you find it acceptable to switch allegiances at any point in your life if you haven't moved to a new city?
Well, I guess I would have to, Cal, otherwise we wouldn't be speaking.
that's true.
I like that. To me, though, you made a move from the Jets to the Dolphins to the Jets.
Right.
And you're from New York.
Right, so that's a little bit more acceptable.
It's acceptable. And you also weren't Joe Dolphin. You know
no.
I mean, you had a Marino jersey, great. You know, but you didn't go, it's not like you were walking around with Mark Duper jerseys.
No, I was not.
You know, or Richmond Webb jerseys. I mean, you know, you were a Dolphins fan, everybody knew it, but you weren't Johnny Ra-Ra.
No.
Johnny Ra-Ra.
Johnny Ra-Ra. I certainly was not.
No. I don't know who Johnny Ra-Ra is.
Well, whoever he is, you know.
Johnny Ra-Ra,
maybe.
You know, I think that's acceptable.
Lady Gaga.
I think that Johnny Ra-Ra. I think that's acceptable. I think you can, and it's especially acceptable if you switch to a hometown team.
Right. What would not be acceptable is if I was all of a sudden, this week I decided to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan.
Or you went to, you know, now this year you're a New Orleans fan. You're
right,
a Saints fan.
That's a better example.
You know? Or anybody who switched to the Yankees. No, that's not fair. But the Yankees certainly are easy to root for. You know what I mean? Like it's...
Well, and you know what? Let me touch on that real quick.
It's
been
a nice 15 years is all I'm saying.
I'm going to ask this question, and I want Dr. E-Ray's opinion on this one.
Right.
To be a fan of a team... Right, you're watching sports because you want to enjoy sports and you want to be a fan. Why wouldn't you root for a team that wins? Like, why is that unacceptable to switch to a team that always wins if you want to try to get some fun out of it?
Is this your way of telling me you're going to become a Yankee fan? Is this what you're doing?
The jury is out.
I will fight you.
I'm just kidding.
Unacceptable.
No, that obviously will never happen. But I just, you know, it's an interesting point though, because you're a fan. It's about being a fan of a team. Why would you put yourself through that misery if you had a choice?
Well, Cal, isn't the misery part of it? Isn't it necessary to go through life and experience the misery of your team for a period of time, whether it's 5 years or 10 years? I'm sorry, it just is. You need to have that misery to be to call yourself a diehard fan.
Yeah, it's like your badge of honor, I guess.
I think so. And sticking by your team is what's important.
And to enjoy the highs of it. You know what I mean? That the high when you do win. Let's put it this way. People who have stuck with the Pirates the last 19 years, going to party. If that team ever wins, forget about it.
That's true.
You know, I mean, that's part of the joy of it. You know, I think. Now, look, though, Ev, we've suffered a lot of late. I mean, Cal and I, at the hands of the Metropolitans, have suffered a great deal since Carlos Beltran took called strike three from Adam Wainwright. It's been a rough go, don't get me wrong. But I think there's a difference between suffering and suffering intelligently. Like, I think Cal and I have reached the point where with the Mets, or, you know, they are a beloved team of ours. We will always root for the Mets, but we're convinced that the organization is going to do the wrong thing, that it's almost like, okay, enough with the suffering. You know? Like, you don't trust the organization to do the right thing.
Right.
So I think once you start getting into, you know, critical fandom, you know, as opposed to just being a fan, oh, my team sucks, and oh, boy, oh, well, I love them. You know, to where Cal and I and a lot of Met fans are, which is ownership is ridiculous. Jeff Wilpon is one of the worst owners in baseball or one of the worst, you know, team presidents in baseball, and nobody wants to work with him or for him. You know, like every decision that the organization makes is going to be wrong, blah, 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 blah. Then you're getting out of, like, the joy of the suffering.
yet, with all that being said, Steve, I have no idea what it would be like to root for another team.
I just don't have it in me. Yep, can't do it. No, I totally agree. And this is how I grew up watching the Mets. Every day of my life was watching the Mets, either with my grandmother or, you know, best friends, or, you know, talking Mets with you since I'm 8 years old. The Jets I've been watching since I'm 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, since I knew what a football was. You know, how am I ever going to go root for another team? You can't
do it.
You know, it's ingrained. Now, let's close this, and then we got to take the swam. We got to get the New York Schwami in here. What is the – we have a chat room question, E-Ray? Is that it? Yes, we have a chat room question.
It's not a chat room question, but it's a really good point. You know, when we talked earlier about the 70s and 80s when Dallas and Pittsburgh were on TV all the time, that's all that people had back then. There was no internet.
Right.
So if you're watching that team every day, and this comes from D-Rut in the chat room, by the way, give him a shout-out, great point. You know, that if that's all you have, that maybe that's the team you root for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's why – I guess I was alluding to that, but I didn't nail it, and D-Rut did. And that's why when there's a Dallas fan from, you know, Los Angeles – or something, there's a Cowboy fan in Los Angeles, it makes sense to me. Because that was the only teams they saw, America's team. That's all you saw every week. And they were good. So why not root for them? But it doesn't make sense to me in New York, though, because the Giants were on. The Jets were
good,
on.
And weren't good.
They were bad, but they were on TV. You could see them every week.
They were, but why would you root for them if you could see a team that's on every week that's winning?
Right. I guess I was talking about, though, Cal, people our age. You know what I mean? I guess more with people our age. But it's a great point that D-Rut brings up, and we've talked about it before in other fun loads, this idea that, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, like we talked about it with This Week in Baseball, you know what I mean, or the weekly baseball game. That's all you saw. You didn't have the internet. You couldn't pick and choose your games.
So you're telling me that in 1973 they didn't have the ability to see every play in the red zone going on at the same time?
Could you imagine if you
I can't imagine that.
I want to do that. There's our movie. There's our hot tub time machine. Where I want to take a gambler, like a degenerate gambler from 1973 who's watching like his game of the week on a Sunday, and he's getting the one game, you know, with the rabbit ears, and I want to put him in the hot tub time machine and sit him down in front of my TV with ESPN or with NFL Network Red Zone on. and then I want to watch his head explode.
And just
watch the degenerate gambler's head explode. I think that's the name of the movie.
And your wife wants to know why the guy in the Nehru jacket is sitting in her living room. Where did he come from?
Well, that was an interesting fun load, guys. And we were going to talk a little bit about my Texas decision, but we'll get to that in another episode. For those of you who don't know, my wife is from Texas. So I have inherited a family full of Texas fans and Cowboy fans and UT fans and Texas Tech fans. We talked a little bit about the UT-Texas Tech game last week, UT winning and dropping in the polls. They are not happy about that. And I have a decision to make. Am I going to be a UT fan, sort of like rooting for the Yankees, or am I going to go Texas Tech, sort of like rooting for the underdog, being a little different, kind of like the Mets or the Jets or the Islanders?
Well, you know what, Steve? I'm going to say our listeners need to stay tuned, because
that decision
will be revealed in an upcoming episode.
That's correct. Well, that's right. It's not going to be like the decision. I'm not taking my talent to UT. But let's get to the Swami, the New York Swami. Are we renaming him, Dr. E. Ray? Should we rename him the New York Swami?
I don't want a lawsuit. You know, Chris Berman seems like someone who needs a few bucks, you know?
Chris Berman does seem like he needs a few bucks. Wow, that's rough on Chris Berman, Dr. E. Rich.
Not a fan.
Pat, what did Boomer do to you? Let's bring the Schwam in here. Hello, Swami. How are you, my friend? Welcome to
the show,
episode 4.
Good evening, gentlemen, with 14 minutes left of the show and have about 8 listeners still remaining. How would we feel if the...
Taking shots right off the bat. Go ahead.
How would we feel if the present caller does not seem to be approving of the name change? Or does he get a vote in this?
You absolutely have a vote. We were going to run this by you. We figured we'd do it on air because it'd be...
Sure. Let's do it on air in front
fun,
of millions,
radio.
Millions of,
right. I thought there were only eight.
That's right. Let's do it in front
you,
of these eight people.
What you guys have just done, you've gone and committed a Steinbrenner.
we've hit an inside-the-park home run in the New Yankee Stadium?
Not necessarily inside the park. My definition of the Steinbrenner would be a little different.
Right. It would be making a bonehead mistake.
Making a decision based on other than what would be best for the person involved.
Well,
the best
part about this is that it's our show.
Joe Torre knows of this.
We can backtrack on this, Swami, and you are once again the Swami.
That's right.
Okay.
Let's get
back just quickly. Quickly, let me touch on another subject while we have. I guess you gentlemen don't realize that the football situation developed because in 1960, the AFL was formed. Before that, there was no AFL.
Yep.
Before that, there was just the NFL. So, you know, you didn't really have much of a choice. And then in 1970, when the two leagues merged, you know, things got even more confusing. So in the selection of your team that you were going to root for, way back when, in the days when we used to use, you know, stone tablets, to keep score on, there really wasn't that much media coverage as it is today. People were more interested in earning a living and keeping up on world events rather than, you know, devoting themselves to sports and being overwhelmed with, sporting world. So usually, depending on what geographical location you came from, you held allegiance, you know, to that area. I had friends that were from Tucson. And there weren't many football teams at the time playing in either conference from Tucson.
No, not so much.
He opted for a team that he was familiar with from California.
Right.
I have to just sum it up by saying the selection of the team that you finally do root for, you know, should not be based on their win or loss record.
No.
Because if that were true, Chicago and Boston, places like that would have no fans. I think it should be a decision made, honestly, of the team that gives you the most enjoyment.
Right.
Well,
yeah, no, I totally.
Whether they win or lose or not, I mean, I remember years when the Mets, we knew they were going to lose, we just didn't know how.
Right.
You know, we would find it interesting to figure how they were going to lose.
That's right.
We also knew there was somebody was going to make an error, we just didn't know who.
That's right.
That was interesting. That kept our interest up.
Right.
But let's get on to more important matters.
All right, Swam, you got it. Take it away.
Before you go,
Swam, let's just tell the listeners. All right, week one in your picks, the Swami went 7 of 7.
Yes.
7 out of 7 correct.
Last week, 7 out of 7.
Last week, a little different story. You picked 8 games. You went 5 and 3.
Yes. Yes.
And you lost on the two New York teams. That's right. You lost on the two locals. I think you let your heart get in the way there a little bit.
There you go. Exactly. I always should stay away from local teams.
That's correct. So you have picked 15 games so far, and you have gotten 12 correct. Is that right? Is that what I'm understanding? All right.
That's the score. So
that's astounding.
let's go into this week and see what we can come up with.
Let's do it.
I never ask you guys, you know, while I make my predictions, what you think, although I was chided last week for one of my selections, by the way. I have that on record. So, chiding.
Nice. Yes, chided. You died to say that. All right, go get him.
Okay, let's try San Diego and Seattle. Both teams are 1-1, so somebody's going to change that part of the record. And I would have to think that the Seattle, being at their home, possibly could come away victorious. So we'll go with Seattle over San Diego. How about Green Bay over Chicago? Nah, I don't think so. We're going the other way. Green Bay takes
the
win.
Wow.
Wow.
All right.
Sorry.
I'm going to write that one down.
Write them all down.
All
right.
We have the Redskins playing St. Louis.
Right.
St. Louis hasn't won anything yet this year, and I don't think they're going to do it this week either. So we'll take the Redskins over St. Louis. I not only like the Redskins as a team, I also like their potatoes. Let's go into Denver. Denver and the Colts. You got to go with Peyton.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care if it is, the Denver Broncos doing their whatever. I have to go with the Colts. Are we ready for another one?
Yes.
Does anybody have any feelings for the Pittsburgh-Tampa Bay? Both teams.
Not strong feelings.
No, but both teams are 2-0. So that means one will come away victorious and the other one will wind up in the loss column.
Correct.
Tampa Bay is at home. Pittsburgh's coming in with the big guys. I guess we're going to have to just say Tampa Bay will be victorious.
All right, Tampa Bay over Pittsburgh. Wow, you got some upset specials in here, Swam.
Well, I'm thinking Tampa Bay is going to just align themselves with their fellow baseball athletes in that town and show the people what they can do.
All right,
let's go Buffalo. I think they still have a team. Are going into New England?
Yes.
And I would have to think, even though the New York Jets embarrassed. You know, Brady, and in fact, I don't think that was Brady who showed up at the Jets game, but he looked like him. But I'm
except for the really bad haircut.
Really? Yes, really. He was suffering from post-traumatic stress.
Not a good look for him.
I'm going with New England.
All right.
We have Detroit and Minnesota. Hey, does anybody know if Brett Favre is... pacemaker's been, battery's been changed lately.
the Swam, everybody.
Well, I mean, Detroit, 0-2. Minnesota, 0-2. Somebody's going to walk away a winner. Or maybe they won't walk. Maybe they'll limp. Well, let's give a little Brett Favre a little help this week, right? And we'll say he's definitely going to be a loser. So I like Detroit.
Oh!
I like Detroit.
Swam! This is upset. This is like upset special week. Holy cow. Go ahead.
I think the last one, well, I have a feeling about Dallas and Houston. These guys are playing for more than just a win-loss.
And they're both in Texas.
I know. As I said, this is Texas. I mean, the one is 2-0, and the other one is 0-2. I don't have to remind you guys which one's which. Tony Romo, I don't know. What's happening with my man? All right, I picked Dallas on both weeks to lose, so I hate to think that they're going to go 0-3, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go with Houston.
All right, so you're taking Dallas to go 0-3. So let's get this straight. We got Seattle, Chicago, the Redskins, the Colts, New England, Minnesota, and the Texans.
Only one more to go.
All right, let's have it. Oh, and Tampa Bay, right. We have Tampa Bay in there as well.
Right. How about that Kansas City, you know, and the City by the Bay team?
Yes.
I mean, Kansas City is 2-0. The Chiefs look good. San Francisco, surprisingly, 0-2.
Yes.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
At the beginning of the year, all the pundits were saying, hey, San Francisco. Oh, I don't know.
Just like that.
But, yeah, I know. I don't know. The Chiefs are playing at home. Very tough. I don't think there's going to be any tornadoes cropping up. Hopefully not.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take San Francisco.
San Fran to get their first win.
All right,
Swam. Hey. I love it. We'll touch base with you next week, and we're going to put up on the site how you're doing. So you're right now you're 12 out of 15. It's a big week. You got a lot of upsets in there, pal.
Well, aside from changing my name, which I'll think about all week for you guys to
yes,
make
please.
Your life a little easier, I don't take anything personal when people say, the guy is only 12 for 15. So you guys
excellent.
Have a great you guys have a great week. You're doing wonderful work, all except that. Oh, never mind. Well, you guys are doing wonderful work, and it seemed like it almost took a tornado to put you guys out of business.
Well, thank you, Swam. We'll talk to you next week, and keep your powder dry, pal.
That's right. Check your mailbox.
You got it, John.
All right.
The Swami. Wow, on fire tonight. That is the good stuff. Well, we got about 2 minutes left. We got 3 minutes left in the show. Dr. Erie, I want to bring you back in here real quick. So we can do a real quick doctor is in. Let's do this. Come on. Let's go. Let's do this. Dr. E-Ray.
We're only 27 minutes late on this segment.
Yeah, we're only 27 minutes late on this segment. We almost got there. Dr. E-Ray, without further ado, the doctor is in. Evan, go.
You know, you guys make me out to be this big tyrant. You know, come on. All right.
The show
so
doesn't
Joe
run
Torrey.
Without you.
That's right. The show
That's
does
true.
Not run without you. Go ahead.
So Joe Torrey has been speculated as being the Mets manager, but he came out tonight saying he's not going to be the Mets manager. Does he manage next year? What's the diagnosis?
Absolutely does not manage next year, and he was a jerk for saying anything about a you know a job that somebody still has.
He does not manage next year, and I agree with Steve. He was a jerk.
So, Cal, Vic or Kolb, who deserves this job?
Vic, no doubt about it, Vic. He played great last week. Kolb is still banged up. I just wish Andy Reid hadn't flip-flopped as much as he did this week, but Vic deserves it.
Very nice.
I second that one.
So, Sam Pete, there's a couple of teams in the NFL I'd like to hear your opinions about.
Yes.
Tampa Bay and Kansas City 2-0. Fluke or real deal?
I'm going to go fluke. I don't think they're a real deal at all. Kansas City, they're nice little stories at 2-0, but and Tampa Bay's in a terrible division. So is KC, kind of. But I don't think they're going to, you know, be 12-win teams by any means. So fluke. I say fluke.
Yeah, I think I agree on this. But, Cal, let me ask you a question. Minnesota and Dallas, San Francisco also all 0-2. Fluke or real deal?
I'm going to say fluke on Dallas. I think they're going to turn their season around. I think San Francisco is also going to turn their season around. They played real well last night against the Saints, almost won the game. That's a fluke. Minnesota, real deal. They're going to be horrible this year, 4-12 for the Vikings.
Very nice. And lastly, Steve, was Brutus the Ohio University mascot right in tackling and tumbling the Ohio State Buckeyes?
I don't know if he was right, but it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. And if he wasn't right, baby, if that's not right, I don't want to be right. I love being wrong, because that's awesome. Mascots should beat the crap out of each other at every game. Because what's the point of having a mascot? That's my opinion. All right, guys, we got to wrap it up. For Dr. E-Ray Stat and Brian Calvi, I am Steve Sampietro. This is Need to Upload with Cal and Sampete. Join us next week when we are probably joined by a special guest. So definitely tune in, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody. All right, folks, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the episode, and join us next week. We'll be joined by Dave Rutley from FFAdvisor.com, who will be giving us a little fantasy football advice. And we may also have a special guest to come in and talk about the Giants a little bit. So definitely join us next week. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week, everybody.